Dear Cousin, Love Regulus, by XX the Dark Lord XX. Summary. As the sole Malfoy heir, Draco understood that his path was set long before his birth. Who to be, how to act, and what his choices should be. What he had not counted on was the power of outside influences. Letters from his deceased cousin caused him to realize that he did have choices, starting with the choice to be someone else, to be who he wanted to be. The road to self-discovery was difficult, and navigating that path in the shadow of Harry Potter was its own challenge. But maybe, just maybe, his friends would help him along the way, and he would owe it all to Regulus Black. Prologue. Regulus congratulated Narcissa as soon as the news was confirmed. He smiled as warmly as he possibly could as a wave of nausea hit him hard. All he had to do was look towards Malfoy to know that any child Lucius had would be condemned to a depressing fate. A fate with no choice. A fate filled with despair, and one so lonely that it would crush the poor child. A fate that Regulus knew all too well. He couldn't do it. Couldn't bear the thought of his soon-to-be cousin left with only Malfoy's prejudiced thoughts. It wouldn't end well for the baby. It couldn't. So Regulus did the only thing he could. He wrote it all out and made sure that the next Malfoy heir would get a complete story. One that wasn't biased. One that wasn't shrouded in darkness aimed at being an infallible truth. Regulus wrote to his cousin and hoped it would be enough. Chapter 1. Draco Malfoy and the Letter That Started a New Path. Year 1. Dear Cousin, despite the nature of this communication, I feel childish sending such a letter. Part of me hasn't committed to sending something that won't be read for many more years. It's not wise to assume my letters will be met with positivity. However, I can't bear to stop now. Not when I need to stress the importance of my words. You, dear cousin, are just a small life still in the womb. A life that I fear will be painted in cruelty. All children are innocent until life, experiences, and even family shape them. I would give anything to keep your innocence from ever changing, but I cannot as long as you remain blind to the horrors of being a descendant of the Black and Malfoy family. If you are anything like me, then you will be rolling your eyes at such a biased utterance. Oh, how I heard my own brother tell me the same things as I grew up. But I promise you that such teachings are important. The things I tell you are vital to listen to. If not with your own actions, then please just listen to the words. I'm sending you these letters, because I want you to see that there's more than what we have been taught. There's more than just our pure-blood ethics that we recite for meaningless validation. Validation from those that only see it as a trophy to place on a shelf built upon the suffering of others. Being a dark wizard is not the problem, and it never was. Being dark is not the same as being bad. I agree with that line of thought. I will concede that our upbringing was right in that aspect. But doing harm in the plight of keeping freedom is not the same thing as having a cause. When one takes away the rights of others to ensure that their own freedom is continued, then what has society become? I know that this sounds like a passionate plea given by light wizards, and for that I can't help but sneer slightly. However biased that they are not wrong when it comes to maintaining the rights of those that are different. If only they would realize that the same sentiment applies to us as well. I will never be able to tell you that one such path is correct. To be light comes with its own downfalls. No one's organization is flawless. If there is a middle ground where you take the pieces of both light and dark mentalities and combine them, then I urge you to do so. Ultimately, it all comes down to choice. The choice to listen to me. The choice to ignore my warnings. The choice to find your own way. Your own mistakes and who you want to be. Your upbringing will be similar to my own, and for that I weep for you, cousin. All my life I knew who I was supposed to be, who I was needed to be, and never once did I know who I wanted to be. The warmth that I never had is what I wish you will receive. I know your mother, and I know her frigid distance to allow nothing kin. I know your father, not well, but enough to know that he has no warmth. Perhaps you'll be an outlier. Maybe you will be what thaws them both. I hope my predictions are wrong. I hope that you get the life you deserve, and the life with all the knowledge given. not a skewed version of history. Your life is your own, and I pray that you know this. That one day, when family responsibility seems like the only answer, that you will realize you are worth so much more than a surname. Don't choose for your father. Don't choose for your mother. Don't choose for me. And don't choose for society. Choose for yourself. Be who you want to be. And let that be enough. Love, Regulus. Draco read the letter with narrowed eyes before he pulled out his grandfather's wand. Something untraceable by the Ministry until it was allowed his own wand, and he ran as many tests as he could remember. His lessons with his tutor weren't as advanced as the spells required, and if Draco asked his father for help, it could ruin whatever was supposed to happen with the letters. He read the signature one more time and couldn't but frown. Regulus? As in Regulus Black? Draco looked at the family tapestry in the library as he took in the line over Regulus Black. The line was a symbol for death. Was the letter truly from his cousin? Someone who'd been dead for over 10 years? Or was it from an impostor? Part of him wanted to scoff and throw away the letter on instinct. It seemed so easy for others to give an opinion. As if being told his parents' beliefs were wrong. As if Draco didn't already know that. Was something he could just ignore and do the opposite. Being wrong didn't automatically make being right easier. He sighed as he read over the letter one more time. Dobby! The pop of the apparition had Draco a little nervous. Hypothetically, if I were to ask you to not tell my father something, would he be able to order the information anyway? Dobby winced as he peered up at Draco. His ears had drooped, and his large eyes were wide with something.
Depends, Master Draco.
A small pause caused him to glare. Dobby always did like to be dramatic. Depends on what?
On whether Master Malfoy changes Dobby's orders. Dobby is Master Draco's elf until he's of age.
Draco leaned forward as a small smirk formed. As long as you remain my elf, he can't order you to speak of my secrets. Dobby shook his head quickly. His ears flopped forward with the movement. I need you to make sure this letter has no spells hidden within. When Dobby tentatively picked up the letter, a slight tss caused Draco to frown. What? Is it cursed? Dobby regarded Draco warily.
No, but if there had been a curse, Master Draco would already be ill. Dobby can't be of help after the fact.
Draco knocked Dobby's shoulders lightly as he let the censure humble his previous overconfidence. You're right, I shouldn't have touched it.
Master Draco needs to be careful.
Draco rolled his eyes, but he took Dobby's warning to heart regardless. Is there anything you can tell me about the magic in the letter?
There are spells to ensure Master Draco is protected while he reads it.
Draco hummed curiously. He was not used to someone looking out for him, besides Dobby.
Old magic,
Dobby added, as his fingers glowed brightly over the letter.
As in long ago place. This may have been sent to Master Draco recently, but it was created many years ago.
That would make sense if it was truly a letter from Regulus, which he had begun to think it might have been. Can you find me all information regarding Regulus Black? Dobby bowed before he walked towards the bookcases near the back of the library and started to mumble.
Master Draco has legs of his own.
Draco threw his head back and laughed loudly before he ran after Dobby. The lack of knowledge on Regulus annoyed Draco and made him suspicious at the same time. Why was there no specific time of death? No date? No cause? It was as if Regulus disappeared one day and was never seen again. The Ministry had declared Regulus dead during the war. It seemed to be common for people to go missing then, and Regulus had just been another name for the books. What happened to you, cousin? Draco whispered as he shut yet another book. What are you looking for? The voice startled Draco into action. He managed to hide most of the books by the time his godfather made it to the back of the library. I am looking into my family history. Severus arched a brow. Something Draco was trying to teach himself in the mirror. It was rather difficult. Any in particular? Draco shrugged. He knew that less information he provided wouldn't give Severus no power over him. The Black family. Severus sat down across from Draco as he folded his arms. Your mother's immediate family? Bellatrix is always the crazy bit. Draco held up a hand, not wanting to hear about his aunt. No, I was thinking more along the lines of great-aunt Wilburga's family. A slight grimace caused Draco to tilt his head to the side. Severus wasn't usually one for outward emotions. What happened to her kids? Our library is short on information. Silence settled around them as Severus narrowed his eyes. Is it imperative that you know? Severus countered. Or was it just simple curiosity? Draco knew a trap when it was laid so blatantly. Knowledge for the sake of knowledge is what I seek. Severus rolled his eyes before he leaned forward. Sirius Black is imprisoned in Azkaban. Draco's fingers reached forward to grip the edge of the table. That made no sense. If Regulus's words were to be taken seriously, then his brother was a light wizard, which fit the family history of Sirius being disowned. Why? Mass murder. Draco blinked rapidly, not expecting that answer. And do you believe that? Severus looked away as he exhaled louder than normal. Not quite. It wasn't until Draco gestured with his hands that Severus continued. Black was moronic, childish, reckless, and a fool, but he wasn't a murderer. At least not intentionally. Well, it was clear that Severus wasn't a fan of Sirius. Draco wondered what the background information for that entailed, but it wouldn't be wise to ask. He wasn't stupid enough to do that, not when Severus's fingers were clenched so tightly. And Regulus, what of him? Severus cleared his throat before he looked at Draco closely. He died sometime during the war, not too long after you were born. How? It's unknown how he died. But you must have a guess. When Severus's eyes narrowed, Draco cursed under his breath. Why do you care? Draco had to hide his fingers in his robes as they began to shake slightly. Giving anything away to Severus wouldn't have been wise, not when he wasn't sure where his godfather lined up in political beliefs. My business is my own, Draco whispered, hoping Severus wouldn't be too offended. Severus snorted. Cheeky brat. It was said with a fondness that Draco didn't hear too often. Regulus was a Death Eater. What? Draco slumped in the chair as he ran his fingers through his hair. How could a Death Eater preach about choices and doing the right thing when they hadn't done either? Hypocrisy at its finest. Draco wasn't sure what to think. It made him want to scoff at the letter, to throw it away or watch it light on fire. How could Regulus speak of things that he himself hadn't followed? Why was this not public? Draco asked, his mind still not computing at all. Did he die by the light? As I said earlier, it is unknown how Regulus died, Severus pointed out dryly. Most will say he tried to run away after getting in too deep. Most? Draco asked as he wondered if that was what truly had happened. Was that why the letter had been sent? Had Regulus realized he'd been wrong and wanted someone to know? Severus closed his eyes briefly. One doesn't become a Death Eater and change their mind. If Regulus had run, the Dark Lord would have killed him. Is that what you think happened? Do you think that Regulus ran away? Draco knew that his father and Severus were past Death Eaters. That was something that couldn't be hidden. Not when it was public knowledge. No. Severus shook his head slowly. The Dark Lord liked to make examples of those who fled. Regulus wouldn't have been any different. Draco sighed in frustration. Then what do you think happened to him?
Severus was quiet for far too long.
I don't know. I looked for him, for a long time. Why? Severus stood up abruptly. My business is my own. Draco watched him leave the library in confusion. The more he learned about Regulus, the less it all made sense. Just who had been Regulus Black? And why had he sent a letter long after his death? Draco ignored the curious stares from his peers when an owl flew through the open window of the History of Magic classroom. He rushed forward, knowing exactly what the letter was. His parents only liked to send things during breakfast where they could show off gifts, and no one else would have sent anything to him. Shaky fingers grabbed the letter, not happy that it had been 5 months since the last one.
Who do you think is sending Malfoy letters?
Draco ignored Weasley in favour of checking the envelope for any spells. Safety would dictate that he waited until Dobby could look it over, but he didn't have the patience for that. He ripped open the letter, and hoped that it would hold more information than the last.
Dear cousin, by now you've discovered some of who I am. I know that you're sceptical, and I know that you don't understand my intentions. It's humorous to me that we harbour so much suspicion for such a simple thing as trust. Trust will get one killed. I understand this, and I wish I could offer more than just a letter or my words. I'm a Death Eater. I'm sure you know this. I'm sure the Black family would be proud to show that off. There are times when I wish that I could be just as delusional, then maybe I could be proud too. Maybe when I look in the mirror, I won't flinch at the monster I have become. If your father has told you of his past, then he has told you of his status. I hope he's upfront with the knowledge and doesn't hide the bad parts. Because, yes, there are bad parts. All of it is bad. On the surface, banding together and forming an organization of equal-minded people sounds good. Great, even. But what they don't tell you is what you have to do to maintain the membership. They preach the benefits, the end result of what will surely lead to a utopian society, where we can all be who we want to be, where we can finally stop hiding our magic and let loose our frustrations, where those who respect our ways are the ones involved in our society. But that's just a temptation, not truly what will happen. The prize that they boldly proclaim is shrouded in horrors that no one should have to complete just to achieve change. I have done horrible things in the name of that change, and all it did was kill me on the inside. All it did was push me further away from who I once was. Hurting others in the name of peace will never lead to success. People say we are at war, but that's not entirely true. We are assassinating innocent people who have not wronged us in any capacity. We are murdering those who just want to live. We are one step away from genocide. Tell me, cousin, where is the justification? When did petty disputes escalate to death? And how do we live with the blood on our hands, or the screams in our ears? If you want to one day be a Death Eater, the time will come. Then realize that you aren't just believing in the utopian bullshit. You are also believing in the lies that will be slain to make it happen. I wish I had someone to tell me the warnings. I wish I had someone who said not to do it. I wish I hadn't been a child making a decision that would shape my adulthood. I wish I had more than one side of history to go off of. I wish I had more than my family beliefs. I wish I had had someone there for me. I don't think I'll live to meet you, but I hope that I can give you what I never had. I pray that even one of my letters make you rethink the path your parents will demand of you. My dear cousin, I just want the world for you. A world with no strife, no war, no desolation, and a world without the Dark Lord. Take care. You are in my thoughts. Love, Regulus. Draco's brow furrowed something near the beginning of the letter, and they never mellowed out. As he tried to understand it all, he worried his lip between his teeth. The war was over. The Dark Lord had been bested by Potter. Draco looked up. He noticed that several curious gazes were on him, but it was vibrant green that he locked eyes with. The Dark Lord was gone, wasn't he? Why would Regulus suggest that the Dark Lord would come back? Or was Draco looking too deep into it? Was Regulus implying the war would have continued onwards? It wasn't as if Regulus could predict the future. Perhaps things at the time seemed endless. Draco wished he could just talk to Regulus, wished that his cousin was still alive. As Draco sighed, he realized he was still staring at Potter. Usually, Potter tended to glare, something Draco loved to see. Anger simmering in Potter's eyes was always something that could lift his mood. But Potter wasn't glaring. No, there was open curiosity there, and he wasn't sure what to do with it. When the class ended, Draco hung back, eyes on Potter as he silently willed him to understand. "Go on," Potter told Granger and Weasley. Draco rolled his eyes when they both looked at him warily. He looked at Crabbe and Goyle, who had glared at Granger and Weasley as they cracked their knuckles in what he'd assumed was a silent threat to Potter. "Wait outside." Both grunted, and the door had almost closed before Draco realized he needed to add more. Don't harm Weasley or Granger, either. Potter made a noise of surprise at that, but Draco was too busy making sure Binns had floated out of the room. Potter, he began as he looked back and straightened up. You did kill the Dark Lord, didn't you? There was no point in mincing up words. He needed answers, and the subject required him to be blunt. Potter opened his mouth, only to close it again, as the cycle of the same motion repeated. Sorry? Come again? Draco rolled his eyes. Why did Gryffindors have to be so stupid? There's a lot of vague details, but the standard belief is that he's dead. I'm asking you if that's true. There was a stifling silence as Potter stared at Draco far longer than was polite. Merlin, someone needed to teach him manners. Why? Potter asked finally. Does this have something to do with your letter? Draco wasn't sure how to respond to that. There wasn't a chance in hell that he was going to tell Potter, of all people, about Regulus. It might, but I'm not at liberty to discuss that. Potter narrowed his eyes before he folded his arms across his chest. I don't know what I did that night, or if I even did anything at all. Draco frowned. He didn't like the sound of that at all. Hagrid thinks he'll come back, that he's not dead. Fuck, Draco swore as he clutched the letter closer to his chest. It was all too much. No 11-year-old should have to consider such things. It wasn't fair. Are you all right, Malfoy? Draco laughed, the sound hollow even to his own ears. As all right as I imagine you will be one day. If the Dark Lord wasn't dead, then Draco knew his father would return to servitude. It was inevitable. Regulus wouldn't be too far off the mark. Well, that's not ominous at all, Potter snarled back as he shook his head slowly. We've all got a part to play, Draco whispered. He peered up at Potter through his lashes. Yours is set in stone. Potter evaded the Dark Lord once. That alone showed which side he would be on. And you? What's yours? Draco lifted his hands in the air, as lost as his mind. I don't know. Potter hummed curiously. Only you get to decide. I wish that were true, whispered Draco, making his way towards the door. Perhaps Potter was right. Regulus wrote something similar as well. As Draco left the room and made his way down the hall, he paused to offer his gratitude to Potter over his shoulder.
Did Malfoy just say thank you?
Draco was offended by Weasley's insinuation that he didn't know how to be polite.
Think he's on the receiving end of a cheering charm?
He'd have to be smiling for that,
Granger said. Her voice got softer the further Draco, Crabbe and Goyle walked away.
Think he's been confounded, then?
Maybe he's just being nice, Potter offered.
I reckon you've been confounded. Hermione, what's the counter curse for?
Draco smiled slightly as they began to bicker. Gryffindors might not be good for anything, but at least they were entertaining. Dear cousin, some days I wonder what it would be like if I wasn't the youngest. When I was a child, I used to resent my brother. He was the one who was going to take over the Black family line. Sirius was the one who would one day lead the family. Where would that leave me? I'm the spare, the extra, the one who no one cared about as long as Sirius did what he was supposed to. But even early on, I knew that Sirius wouldn't make it. My brother doesn't have the mentality to follow rules, especially ones that have no purpose. A rule for the sake of being a rule would crumble in his presence. It used to make my mother furious that her oldest couldn't behave. That kind of personality wasn't befitting for the firstborn. If our births had been reversed, my brother would have been happier. He wouldn't have had the pressure that my parents put on him. You see, I wasn't expected to be anyone. I wasn't expected to follow anything. I was just there. And I hated that. I needed a purpose. I needed structure. But Sirius, he was always a dreamer. As a kid, he used to tell me he would one day chase after dragons, or pilot Muggle ships, create new spells, or even become Minister of Magic. There wasn't a single dream that seemed outlandish to him, nor could he ever make up his mind. I lost count of his many dream jobs by the time I was 7. I was the youngest. I was supposed to be the dreamer. I was the one who should have been carefree, but I knew that Sirius needed his imagination, because our family life wasn't something he could live with. His dreams were what kept him going. But I couldn't be a part of that. I never stopped to dream, never stopped to consider what I wanted. I couldn't, not if Sirius was to get what he deserved in life. I love my brother, I do, but we are so different. He wanted the best in life, and that's something he should get. I had to be realistic. If he wasn't going to be the Black Heir, then someone had to. Someone had to have the responsibility. And that was me. The structure that Sirius hated was the only thing I could count on. It was a guidance that I thought I needed. When you don't dream, then someone else's mold becomes yours too. I was living the life my mother wanted me to have. A life I never questioned. Because surely, if I was meant to be elsewhere, then Sirius would have been the one to take over. If I was meant to be free, then Sirius would have been there. I won't lie and say I would have taken the freedom if it were offered. To me, following in my parents' steps was the one thing I could envision. Their plans were already laid out. All I had to do was listen. I didn't have to think, because they did it for me. I don't need Sirius to tell me how dangerous that is. Because I know. At least now I do. Growing up with prejudiced beliefs almost desensitizes the struggles that those who are oppressed go through. I didn't realize how bad it was until I was already too deep into the bigotry. By that time, it was too late for external change. Oh, I could change my own mind and my beliefs, but that doesn't change the fact that I'm a Death Eater. Death Eaters don't wake up one day and have a change of heart. They don't decide to suddenly have a moral backbone. My change was slow. And with each passing realization, the horror took over. I will never be a good person, cousin. I can't. Not after everything, but I can be a bad person who at least is self-aware. I won't leave this world hating muggles or muggle-borns. I won't leave this world destroying their lives. I won't leave this world spewing hatred. Inaction can't erase previous action, but it's a start. I look to purebloods who grew up on the light side and wonder how we could be so different. They, too, have a love for our society. They, too, want to keep it going. But they do so with acceptance while we do it with violence. The stark difference will always astound me. My brother chose to be a light wizard. It never came as a surprise, no matter what my mother says. I'm proud of him, proud of his decision. Sirius stuck to his beliefs and never once wavered. He'll be good at it, be good at being an anchor for their movement. There will come a time when we will most likely fight each other. We are on opposing sides of a war that I fear will never end. I wonder if it'd be easier to let him win. Would it be easier if I never questioned things, if I remained the person that I once was? I would have remained ignorant, but at least it would be with the belief that I was doing what was needed to be done. Changing my mind brought far more than knowledge. It brought guilt, despair, and the realization that not only was I wrong, but so was my family. So was every other dark wizard who had the same beliefs. I don't know the answer too much anymore, but I do know that I would do it all over again if it meant that Sirius didn't have to. His dreams live on, and my family's prejudice will die with me. That's the only silver lining I can see. And I'm all right with that. Love, Regulus. Draco read over the letter twice as he tried to picture what Regulus would have gone through. He didn't have any siblings, so there wasn't much he could relate to in that aspect, but it was clear that Regulus loved his brother. A prejudiced upbringing was something Draco knew well. An uncomfortable feeling took root, but he knew that to be uncomfortable meant something. How does one stop bigotry when it's all they knew? It wasn't as if he could only blame his upbringing. Sure, his father was largely responsible. But that didn't mean Draco had to go along with it. At some point, the blame was on him. His father wasn't the one furthering the words that fell out of Draco's mouth. His father wasn't the one bullying those that were different. No, it might have started as his father's creation, but it was Draco's own actions that continued the bigotry. How does one change for the better? Was there a way to do that? Realization couldn't be the only step. There were other things that he could do to genuinely change. Draco clutched the letter tightly as he made his way out of the dorm. He ignored the way Crabbe and Goyle looked at him. He wasn't sure how to handle them. They didn't understand why he had started to behave differently. They looked to him for guidance on who to harm, who to make fun of, and when to mouth off. But Draco didn't want to be that person. He was already so confused with everything else, and he didn't want to have to think for them too. Couldn't they make their own decisions? When Draco walked into the library, he noticed that it was empty except for a few students. It took several looks through of the shelves before he could admit that he wasn't sure what he was looking for. A glance towards Madame Pince showed she was watching him closely, and with suspicion. But Draco wasn't sure how to ask for what he wanted. She wasn't exactly a nice person. "Damn it! Are you all right?" Draco lifted his head up from where he'd previously placed it in his free hand. He groaned internally at the sight of the bloody golden trio.
"Loaded question, Potter. Best not to ask."
Potter exchanged an obvious look with the other two before he narrowed in on the letter still in Draco's hand.
"Are you looking for something?"
Granger asked as she gestured to the books Draco had haphazardly put back. Draco's lips thinned as he ran a hand through his hair. Granger would probably know, but he wasn't sure he wanted to give up the pride it would cost to ask. He closed his eyes when he realized that it wasn't about him. None of it was. Draco knew that if he truly wanted to change, then he would have to step out of his comfort level. He needed more than one side of things, needed more than his father's words. If Draco truly wanted to understand all parts of society, then he needed more knowledge. Draco opened his eyes to stare at Granger.
"I'm looking for books on Muggleborns, and maybe Muggles too."
Granger narrowed her eyes.
"What kind of books? I thought pueblos like you knew all they needed to when it came to Muggleborns."
That was fair. Draco bit his lip before he looked away. "I want to know more," he whispered. "I want to read about their struggles, oppression, their lack of equality in the workplace and even in social settings. I'm looking to become more educated on the topic." There was a silence that settled around the already quiet library, but Draco didn't have the bravery to see their reaction. He hadn't wanted to talk to them in the first place.
"Why?"
Weasley questioned, tone doubtful. Draco shook his head, not willing to discuss it with someone unwilling to see it for what it was.
"His reasons don't matter,"
Granger began.
"What matters is his willingness to learn."
"Burp."
Draco looked up in time to see Potter shake his head. They locked eyes, and Draco wished he could say that the pleased glint was something he resented. Granger walked to a section that Draco would have bet 50 galleons he had already searched.
"This is a good start."
Draco looked at the titles with trepidation. "Dueling with Bigotry, Volume 1. Why I Stopped Talking to Purebloods About Prejudice and Tolerance and Acceptance. A Lesson for Humanity." "Thank you," Draco whispered. He didn't bother to look up as he took the books from her hands. "I don't think I'll be able to read both before summer holiday happens."
"Go ahead," Madame Pince's voice startled Draco. "Keep them till the new year starts. I'll remember."
The harsh glare she always had was softened by a small quirk of her lips. Draco nodded once to Potter and Granger. He tried to nod to Weasley too, but it was more of a grimace and a jerk of his head. But it was something. That had to count. As he made his way to the counter to sign the holiday reading list, Draco couldn't help but ask why she was allowing him to take the books.
"If the youth aren't educated properly, history will repeat itself."
That didn't bode well for humanity, but Draco knew she was right. History would repeat itself. Something he had no control over. But perhaps Potter and Reglis were right. Draco could control his own choices. He just had to define them first.
"I'll return them as quickly as I can," promised Draco as he placed them in his bag along with the letter.
"When you do, I'll send you more of a similar subject."
When Draco looked up curiously, he was surprised to see an actual smile on her face.
"Thank you."
Madame Pince leaned forward as she beckoned him closer.
"Best not tell anyone. Wouldn't want them to think I'm nice."
Draco laughed as she winked at him before she shooed him out of the library. He sighed when he caught sight of Potter leaning against the wall. Clearly Potter had waited for him.
"You know," Potter began with a tilt of his head, "despite your words, you seem to have already chosen who you are."
"Well, I haven't," Draco contradicted. "I just want to know more before I can really be certain."
Potter's face was filled with humour, as if he didn't believe Draco's statement. "You said I was set in stone, but you don't have to be." Draco lifted his hands up as he tried to understand Potter's angle. "Why do you care?" "I'm not a nice person, Potter. I don't think I could ever be." "Oh, believe me, I know." Potter's laugh quickly turned into a snort that resembled a dying choke, and Draco knew that it was a defining moment where Potter was truly defined as a lost cause. "You can be a prat with morals, though." "Morals?" Draco winced, not sure he wanted that. That was a Gryffindor tendency. "You seem confident," Draco said as he held the strap of his bag tighter. "I have faith." "You shouldn't." Draco shook his head quickly. "Not when it comes to me. Other people, maybe, but not me." Being a son of a Death Eater wasn't exactly something that sparked much faith inside of Draco. Could he really walk away from what he knew his father would demand one day? Knowing and doing were two separate things. Potter sighed, the sound far more frustrated than Draco expected. "How about you let me worry about that? You just do your research, and when the time comes, we'll see for ourselves where it all falls." "All right," Draco mumbled as he shrugged once and began to walk away. "But you can't be disappointed if I'm right. I did warn you." Draco wasn't sure if Potter did respond, but he felt eyes on his back until he rounded the corner. Faith was stupid, unwise, idiotic, but it didn't surprise Draco that Potter did so anyway. He just wished it was on someone worthier.
You've been listening to Dear Cousin, Love Regulus, written by XX the Dark Lord, XX, and read by Reverie Pye.